Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it off.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
It is Saturday morning. We do this thing every Saturday morning called The Balance. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. I am your host and your humble servant and leader. For the next 2 hours, you and I together will be talking about a lot in sports. Well, you know, it depends on the week what we're going to talk about. And of course, this week we've got a good show planned for you. Have I ever let my minions down? Ever? Today's going to be a good show. We got Matt Hicks from 1070. The fan going to be calling in, going to be talking about that IndyCar. You've heard us talk about it. We've been talking about it. We've been leading up to it. Well, wait for it. Wait for it. It is here. The Indianapolis MotoGP. Well, that would be later on. But the Indianapolis Grand Prix. There we go. It's a brand new race. And you know what? For the very first time in my longest memory, we have racing the entire month of May right here in Indianapolis. So Matt Hicks is going to be talking with us about that. I had an opportunity to go down to testing this week. I tell you what, it's a little different, and we'll get into this conversation, but it's a little different seeing IndyCars go the wrong direction out there on 16th in Georgetown. And then after the race next Saturday, they're going to change it back around into the Oval so we can do ourselves a 500. Today is Derby Day, Kentucky Derby, yeah, baby, and also mini marathon. Course record was set today, and so, you know, we've got a lot to talk about, and of course, you know what? Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to really get in, and it's only because for whatever reason, and I haven't quite figured out why the sports community has can't shut up about this, but because they can't shut up about it, we're going to talk about it, and we're going to spend about an hour today talking about, you guessed it, Donald Sterling, NBA, racist. It's been talked to death. So I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to talk. We're going to give it its 30 seconds of fame, if you will, today. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to air it all out. And when it's done, it's done. We're not going to be talking about Donald Sterling anymore here on The Balance. I am so tired of talking about it. But we do have some great guests lined up that are going to help us talk about that. That's for sure. I had an opportunity this week to catch up with Jay Johnson. It's actually the Battle of the Jays today. Jay Johnson of NPR, local NPR, all things considered, WFYI. I caught up with him yesterday. I talked with him a little bit about this Donald Sterling. Then, coming up at 10 o'clock, we've got Jay Graves of the Jay Graves Report. We're going to be talking about his thoughts on Donald Sterling. Of course, today we've got the Pacers starting at 5 o'clock, I believe. So this is not a day that you want to miss The Balance. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We're going to take a break. We get back. Myself and Matt Hicks are going to break down the new Indianapolis Grand Prix out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
The echoes, the legends, the hearts and souls of champions, all will take notice as a new tradition ignites. The inaugural Grand Prix of Indianapolis. New twists, new turns, new thrills. Grand Prix of Indianapolis at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Our story begins now.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Race fans, get ready for the 2014 Coors Light Carb Day Concert at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, starring the Red Rocker, Sammy Hagar, and the Wobbo. And Sublime with Rome. Friday, May 23rd, Sammy Hagar and the Wobbo. And Sublime with Rome. Get more info at ims.com/carb day.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
The track's awesome. I mean, it's so nice and smooth from a lot of places that we're used to. Obviously, running a lot of street circuits, this is a nice change, and they've done a great job with the layout. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's got great flow, some good passing opportunities, obviously. So, I mean, I'm really encouraged. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
The layout is unbelievable. You got a couple of really long straightaways, different to how F1 had it. You know, they've extended the straight down Holman Boulevard into a huge braking zone into 7, so that's going to be just as big of a pass zone as we've got up into Turn 1, and two of the longest straights I think we have on the entire calendar.
I think it's really good, actually. They did a really good job. I think the new asphalt is coming in. I think the first few laps was hard when the track was completely green, but as we run, the track is definitely coming in, and I think it's going to bring great racing.
You're going to have the chance to see the cars with the big wings and the road course configuration. You're going to have the chance to see those cars the week later with the small wings and on the oval configuration. So, you know, that's what IndyCar is all about, the diversity, drivers that are able to be really fast on road course and driving on the ovals as well really well. So I like the concept, and I think the fans are really going to understand what IndyCar is all about.
They've built some really cool viewer banks in some of the really neat corners, so I think it's just going to be a different experience, seeing the acceleration, seeing the braking, the cornering that these cars have. It's going to be great.
There's some super cool visual spots around this place. There's a high-speed chicane coming off the backstretch, which is really fast, flat out. You're going to see a lot of direction change from the Indy cars, stuff that people haven't seen before. You know, they've seen them on the oval around the Indy 500, and they can see what they can do around four corners, but Indy cars are so much more diverse. I mean, they're so impressive on a road or street course as well. And I think there's a lot of spots where people can get on top of a mound and see how the cars react under braking, how they take a corner really fast, how they brake next to each other, you know, how guys are going to be able to go 3-4 wide into a brake zone and still make it. It's just, they're impressive race cars in a lot of different ways. And I think this this Indy GP track is going to show people the more of the diversity of an Indy car and what we can do. So, yeah, fan-wise, it's just a super cool event to add.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Saul Marcos, El Presidente. And that was some of the drivers and their thoughts on the brand new, we won't call it a brand new road course, but the road course for the brand new race, and that's the Indianapolis Grand Prix. So join me now. Just got off the race circuit himself, passed the Kenyans in such a hurry, set a new course record just so that he could be on the show today. Mr. Matt Hicks, how you doing, sir?
Well, I'm great, Tom. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm good. I thought I saw you running past, the Kenyans up there to get onto the show today, but that's dedication, man.
Well, they were throwing some elbows, but I got through.
I hear you. And of course, we're talking about the Grand Prix, but you know, today, Mark, really, in a lot of ways, Matt, the opening celebration, if you will, of the month of May right here in Indianapolis. Every year, the mini marathon, thousands of runners gather downtown, and so that got started underway. And you know, I was joking about you running it, because we know that you didn't, because if you're anything like me, I get tired driving 13 miles, let alone running 13 miles. But it's certainly a huge, huge race. A lot of people do it for a lot of good causes, and I enjoy watching the soldiers down there, the firemen in full gear. But today there was a new course record that was set, and I cannot pronounce his name, but he won today's day's race, though. So it's always exciting, Matt, when the month of May gets started right here in Indianapolis.
Well, it's funny because it seems like almost there are two seasons in Indianapolis, waiting until May and May. And now we're finally back in May again, and I think we're all ready to go. And it's an exciting year because we're going to have this extra event at the Speedway, a points-paying race. I don't know that I think we all know what to expect at this point. It's going to be a neat event. The tire test we saw, was it Monday, showed us a little bit. I think there's going to be some, maybe even more passing than we normally see on a road course event, especially a closed circuit road course. So this is going to be a really fun event next Saturday, and I think we're all in for some surprises. These road courses can typically produce a winner that we're not used to seeing, perhaps out of the big three teams. But more importantly, we're still waiting for someone at the Speedway to win more than one event. It never happens. Could Juan Montoya win the road course race and be the first guy to win more than one event at the Speedway? It's still not happened yet. We don't have anybody that's won the 500 and the Brickyard, or won the 500 and the Formula One race that we used to have. So it's not happened yet. So maybe this is what produces a multiple winner on that track in two different genres.
Right, absolutely. We're talking with Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan here in Indianapolis, local sports affiliate here. And I appreciate Matt taking some time to join us today and talk with us about the new Indianapolis Grand Prix, of course, leading up to the big 500. And one of the things that I think a lot of IndyCar fans are, they either like the oval, they like the road course or the street courses. Well, this gives you an opportunity to see both. And I was out there for the tire testing this week, and it was really some adjustment to the eyes, if you will, because if you remember back when we did have Formula One, in the direction that they went, it was kind of opposite of what we're used to seeing at the Indianapolis 500. So in other words, they're going to be passing the pagoda the opposite direction, and so that's what's kind of unique to see IndyCar. Of course, last year at the Brickyard, we had the Grand Am race, and that was on the road course, but this road course has proved to be very, very beneficial in a lot of ways, Matt. I think that the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, although they lost the Formula One race, created that road course, and in my opinion, have just really did a great job in utilizing a track that was created for one race and have now been able to transform it into an even bigger race.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think when you look at race facilities in not only the United States but the world, very few of them. I mean, even Daytona has a road course. It used it for several years. So very few of the premier race facilities, and no, I don't count Talladega as a premier race facility, they all have multiple genres and multiple series coming to their course. And I think that is I think that's really exciting for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway to be able to do that now. I mean, they've, of course, it's been several years. They had the Formula One race back in the 90s, the late 90s, but I think it's a neat thing. They're continuing to use the road course race for different types of cars. You know, we have the United Sports Cars race, and then obviously you have NASCAR on the oval with both the Sprint Cup and the Nationwide Series. You have IndyCar now on the oval and the road course race. And let's not forget about the motorcycles, which always proves to be an exciting race as well.
Right, the greatest motorcycle spectacle on earth. But,
right.
Well, you know, I'm getting myself tongue-tied because, you know, we've got the Indianapolis Grand Prix, the Grand Prix of Indianapolis, I'm sorry, and then
right.
We've got the MotoGP. So
right.
It's kind of like a tongue-tie there. Well, let's talk about the Grand Prix of Indianapolis, Matt. Certainly all of the big – all the drivers you will see outside of Pippa Man, I would say, for the most part, all the drivers you'll see in the Indianapolis 500, you will see in this Grand Prix of Indianapolis. Now, we heard in the opening soundbite there the drivers' thoughts and opinions of Joseph Newgarden and James Hinchcliffe and Tony Kanaan, and certainly a lot of these drivers are like it. And this gives an opportunity for drivers to do what they do best, and that's to drive fast. I think we'll see some good speeds because we, unlike a lot of road courses, we have two sides of the course, if you will, are really extended straightaways. And when they get on that straightaway, and I was noticing this the other day in testing, they let it out. And, you know, we were seeing pretty good speeds for a road course. You know, we were seeing close to 200 miles an hour on a road course. So I think we're going to see a very good race next Saturday.
Well, I think that was one thing that the Speedway did really well. I don't know who we think, if it's Doug Bowles or who, but somebody had a great idea that, hey, let's make this the fastest road course we go to. And it seems to be that that's the case. They have that extended straightaway on Holman Boulevard. And, yeah, like you said, they're coming close to 200 miles an hour. That is very, very rare on a road course. You know, we always talk about Formula One. And, yeah, the Formula One cars are faster. There's not a debate about that. But they very rarely ever reach 200 miles an hour. So that is exciting, and I think that was a really wise decision to say, hey, we're going to introduce road course racing to people. In reality, some Indianapolis 500 fans have never watched a road course race, and if they come out to see this, they're still going to see really fast cars. You're not just going to see everybody doing pinpoint hairpin turns. They're going to have some speed out there, and I think that's really, really cool.
Well, let's talk about the different types of races. Obviously, we know IndyCar, the Indianapolis 500, the oval races. We know the street courses like Long Beach, but then we also have the road courses such as Alabama, such as last week. Now, when we look at some of the issues that have happened on road courses, especially when we look at what happened in coming down for the win in the last IndyCar race, will we see those kind of issues here at Indianapolis, do you think?
Well, you know, that's the exciting thing. You very well could. You could not. Weather is going to play a part in this. We don't know what the weather is looking like exactly next Saturday yet, but they will run in the rain, and that's something to remember. Of course, they won't run in a deluge like we saw at the beginning of the Alabama race. But if it's raining, they'll run in that, and that can cause issues and cause different strategies. I don't know exactly. I haven't sat down to look at what fuel looks like yet. If they'll play some fuel games, that could be a part of this. And when it comes down to it, you know, we always talk about this, but whether they're having a foot race, a bike race, a motorcycle race, a taxi cab race, whatever you want to call it, it's the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and with five laps to go, people are going to do some wild stuff to try to win this thing.
Well, right, and I think that, you know, there's some setups here that we can look at that a lot of times, you know, the setups with the car will be different for the Indianapolis 500, but in a lot of ways, very, very similar in the setups of the kind of setups that they would do for the Indianapolis 500. It's exciting. I tell you what, this month of May is, and whether we give credit to, well, we'll give credit to Doug Bowles because he's the president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, or do we give credit to IndyCar, but what have you, IndyCar has positioned themselves. We were having this conversation 2 or 3 years ago. IndyCar was on a downward climb. They were losing their fan base. They were losing races. They were having a problem keeping things together. You know, Tony George and all that. There was just a lot of stuff going on a couple 3 years ago that has cleared its way. And let me ask you this, Matt. Even though that IndyCar is not the fastest car in the world, Formula One cars are, with the bringing back the race in Brazil next year, and I hear that there's some other races that they're looking at adding internationally, does IndyCar become a competitor or a, I don't even want to call it equal, but does IndyCar earn a whole new fan base in the European world, maybe take some fans away from Formula One? But I guess my question is, does IndyCar and Formula One become a race for fans?
That's a really interesting thought, because when you think about Formula One, you think about, well, there's a lot of tradition there, and you talk about generally a smaller field. Generally, there's only 22 cars, though there could be 24 next year for Formula One. And you also think about the one thing that always sticks out in people's minds are team orders. That's always the thing that comes up when you talk about Formula One. Well, I don't like Formula One because they tend to sometimes tell a driver that's in first to pull over and let the lead driver go by so they can get more points. And that will never happen in IndyCar, and that's to IndyCar's advantage, I think. But, yeah, it's a tough thing because Formula One is actually a lot like soccer. It's wildly popular in Europe and around the world. It just has never gained the foothold or traction here. I mean, it's almost like, you know, I'm not trying to disparage soccer, but as many times as soccer has been rejected by the United States as a whole, whether it be through professional leagues or gimmicks or stunts, soccer has just not taken the foothold like it has in Europe. And it's almost the same way with Formula One. So IndyCar, well, maybe IndyCar can never challenge internationally Formula One. They can certainly move up the ranks here in the United States. And I think as more people are exposed to it or reintroduced to it, which is probably the more likely option, it'll continue to gain popularity. Worldwide, it's kind of tough uphill climb just because of the tradition of Formula One. Now, the one thing they've got going for them, of course, they look similar to Formula One cars. So if it does start getting a good TV package in Europe, and maybe there's a race that eventually pops up in Europe, which we've heard rumors of for several years, whether it's England or Germany or wherever, it could possibly happen at some point. I think it's certainly possible it claws into their share a little bit, but I think the more likely path is for this sport to grow in the United States even more. And I expect that to happen over the next few years. I mean, they're making some very interesting decisions to bring more eyeballs to the races. I mean, you talk about Juan Montoya, who's done every form of auto racing, coming back to potentially end his racing career in IndyCar, which is exciting. And then you have, of course, Kurt Busch, a NASCAR champion, coming over to do the Indianapolis 500. I don't think he's going to be the last NASCAR guy to do this anytime soon. You have several returning champions that have been away, coming back, Jacques Villeneuve, and one in particular of the 500, coming back to do this race again. So that's going to bring more casual eyeballs, and I think as more casual people come in and tune into the sport, they'll be hooked because it's drama. It is exciting, and we know that there is also the element of danger. And we know that all too well, unfortunately. But
unfortunately,
but that
you're
reality, right. That reality is there, and that does attract viewers sometimes.
Well, we're talking to Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan, joining us, talking with us about IndyCar and the new Indianapolis Grand Prix of Indianapolis. There we go. But either which way, it's here in Indianapolis. It's in the month of May, and you're not going to be sorry if you go out there. Now, one of the things we always like to do here in the media and, of course, in the fan base, as we watch the qualifications come down on carb day and so forth and pole day and all of that for the Indianapolis 500, we always like to say, are we going to see 230 on the pole? Are we going to see this speed on the pole this year for the Indianapolis 500? We have nothing to compare to for the Grand Prix of Indianapolis, but are we going to see 200 miles on the pole Saturday's race?
I think we could see a top speed at some point at 200, but I think the pole speed will be, I'm guessing probably in the mid-130s, because you do have to do the average, of course, and that that slows things back down quite a bit. But I would think you might see, they might be able to trim it out a little bit. I think the fastest speed was about a minute and 9 seconds on Monday. I don't know if they were really running light fuel or if they were trying to trim it out. I think you might see like a 105, which would translate into like maybe a 140 average speed. I think that's possible. But remember, we're going to see knockout qualifying, which is a race in itself on Friday, which is always exciting. You've got the fast six that will run around, and that'll be exciting too. So that'll be a neat thing that perhaps some people, like the casual Indy 500 fan that's coming out to check out the cars on the track, they've never seen that before. So that'll be hopefully a new and exciting thing for them. And if everything holds what we've seen, I think you're going to see somewhere around, probably 130, 135 average mile per hour lap for the pole.
Well, it's going to be interesting, one, to see the fan base that comes out. I mean, because I think a lot of people were like, well, you know, that's Mother's Day weekend. Well, they're not competing against NASCAR. Okay, well, now we have two races in the month. As exciting as that is, and as much as we like to go out there and some of the things that we take for granted as us media people, we're not chucking in our pocket to pay for a ticket to come out there now. So, so there's still the economic reasons why people may choose one race over the other. And so certainly the Indianapolis 500 will probably have a greater attendance, and in a close drive, people will travel for the race on Saturday. But I'm really excited to see how many fans of IndyCar come out for this race, Matt.
Yeah, that's something that I think we're all interested to see, because I think that's the big curiosity. We've not really heard too much about tickets yet as far as how sales have gone, other than the kind of blanket statement of they've gone well. I think that's something we're all interested in. Will there be 100,000 people there? Will there be 120? Will there only be 50 or 60? I've not heard any predictions yet. I don't think anybody knows quite yet. And I think that's one of the more fascinating things, maybe more from a media side of the weekend, but is to see how many people show up on Saturday for the race. And of course, weather does play a part. I think walk-up is going to be a big part of this race as the week goes on. I don't know that they're going to have a ton of pre-sale tickets, but again, I'm not in the know. They may have already sold 100,000 tickets for all I know. I've not heard any numbers, and I doubt we will anytime soon. We'll have to wait to read Kurt Cavan and the Star on Sunday to get his prediction. So that'll be interesting. But I think that's one of the big questions we've got in this whole thing is what will the fan reaction be as far as paying ticket customers go?
Well, I tell you, there's going to be a lot of action beginning Thursday. First practice is at 10 a.m. on Thursday and runs through the afternoon on Thursday. And then a packed day on Friday from practice, qualifications, and of course, Saturday, the race at 3:30. And correct me if I'm wrong, is this not a timed race like Alabama was, or am I wrong on that?
That's a great question. I think there is a set amount of laps, but they probably they have a television window to get in. I've actually not heard how many laps. I've not seen exactly how many laps they plan on doing, but generally they try to make them last, with lap speeds and everything. They try to make these races last about an hour and a half to 2 hours. So I'm sure that's probably what they're looking at. My guess is it only becomes a time race if there's weather involved.
Okay. Well, and that was a little unique watching that Alabama race, because it wasn't a matter of laps. It was just a matter of time. We have to make these cars last a certain amount of time. And if you're in the lead, like in a basketball game, if you're in the lead, when the buzzer goes off, you win the race. And so it was getting a little different because with the Indianapolis 500, we go a certain amount of laps. We go 500 miles, and however long that takes, it takes. So it's going to be interesting. Also, a couple other different things that IndyCar fans could expect differently from the Indianapolis 500. Like I said, they're going the other direction in the road course, and they're going to be starting from a standing start. So going back to that poll question, I don't know how important the poll position is actually, or big of a role that poll position is actually going to play for the start of the race anyway. And that is kind of something new and different. And I think a lot of people have mixed thoughts on that. What are your thoughts, Matt? Do you want them to start, you know, like they do with the Indianapolis 500? Or do you want them to – how do you feel about the standing start, as they would call it?
I think that's so exciting. And by the way, my research department just handed me the planned track distance is 82 laps for the Indianapolis. Yeah, the standing start is very, very exciting. It allows that little extra mechanical element of what if they fall, or what if somebody gets a better start than somebody else. I think that is very exciting. I have not heard, the last I heard it was they were at least thinking of doing a standing start. I haven't heard the latest if that was the plan or not for this this race, but I think I think it's the more exciting way to go. But I understand that they do a flying start, especially at a first time event, and I do kind of understand, you know, why we would do that, so we don't have any major mishaps one lap into an 82 lap race.
Well, we have been talking with Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan about the brand new Indianapolis Grand Prix. And Matt, we'll have you on again as we get closer to the Indianapolis 500 as well. And we're gonna spend the next hour here or so, Matt, talking about what everybody else has been talking about, and that's Donald Sterling and the NBA and races. So real quickly, what are your thoughts on that, and what are your thoughts on the Pacers tonight?
Well, with the Donald Sterling thing, I mean, obviously there's no place for that in society anymore, and there's just really not much to say about it other than that. And I hope it comes to a quick resolution, because the last thing we need is this to bleed into next season. Hopefully he's not the owner of that ball club here in the next coming weeks, because it's just unfortunate, and it has taken away from, in my opinion, the best first round collection of games.
Oh. Absolutely.
Perhaps we've ever
Hands
seen.
Down. Hands down. And it's kind of like been like March Madness watching these first-round playoffs. I just wish the Pacers hadn't been in the mix of it all. So, but did they close it off and just put the Hawks behind them, or did they call it a season tonight?
No, I think they close it off and they move on. And I think and we might talk next week or the week after, and we might be laughing about this statement, but I actually think the Pacers have an easier time with Washington. I do think that the Pacers close it out tonight, not in an easy fashion. It's going to be a great game, but I do think they move on to the Eastern Conference semifinals, and maybe they take care of business a little quicker with Washington.
Well, we certainly hope so, and I hope that Frank Vogel will be around for a while again. Conversations for another show. Coming up next, though, we're going to be having an interview. I caught up with Jay Johnson of the WFYI, All Things Considered, NPR Radio, on Donald Sterling as an African-American media host himself. Gave us some good insight on that, Matt. So you're certainly welcome to hang around and talk, get into this conversation, but I have a feeling that you've got better things to do.
Not better, just many.
Well, where can people find your work and your masterpieces, Matt?
Hey, tomorrow we're going to talk about this Pacer game in depth from noon to 2 on 1070 The Fan and 107.5 FM. We've got several people to join us, Mark Monteith, Rich Nye, who will talk about Game 7, and also the Grand Prix of Indianapolis. And we're going to talk about the NFL draft with Andrew Garda and Tom James as well, so from the Tribstar. So we're going to do a lot of things tomorrow from noon to 2 with the great Jersey John.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, we appreciate you taking some time with us this morning, and go out there and get rehydrated after running that marathon.
Thank you, Tom. Have a great day.
All right. You too, buddy. Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan, always a pleasure to have him on, a fun guest to have on. Well, we'll be right back, and right after this commercial break, we're going right in to the taped interview that I did earlier this week with Jay Johnson of WFYI NPR Radio, All Things Considered, as an African-American media host himself, kind of gave us an insight on it. My name is Tom Mark Wassell, Presidente, and when this is The Balance, we'll be right back right here on The Balance Radio Network.
Okay, but it's written in the stars, in every line in your palm. We're fools to make one on our brothers in arms.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
The echoes, the legends, the hearts and souls of champions. All will take notice as a new tradition ignites. The inaugural Grand Prix of Indianapolis. New twists. New turns. New thrills. Grand Prix of Indianapolis at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Our story begins now.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious, delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Race fans, get ready for the 2014 Coors Light Carb Day Concert at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, starring the Red Rocker, Sammy Hagar, and the Wobbles. And Sublime with Rome. Friday, May 23rd, Sammy Hagar and the Wobbles. And Sublime with Rome. Get more info at ims.com/carb day.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports. March, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
Talking with Jared Hughes. Jared, does anybody ever tell you you should play basketball instead of baseball? Balance. My name's Tom Mark Wassell, Presidente. I tell you what, I am really honored to have I had promised you earlier on in the show here that we'd get into this Donald Sterling conversation, and my next guest, I caught up with him a little bit earlier this week, and we're going to talk with him a little bit about Donald Sterling. He's Jay Johnson, host of the local All Things Considered show here in Indianapolis from WFYI NPR Radio. Mr. Jay, good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning, Thomas. I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Man, life is good. Life is good. The sun is out. It's spring. It's May. We got race cars on the track. But the reason I wanted to have you on the show today was I just wanted to talk with you a little bit about this Donald Sterling issue. And you know, for all disclaimers out there purposely, I know that you're an African-American. You're also an African-American media host and radio host. Let's talk a little bit about, at first, your thoughts about Donald Sterling and how the NBA handled that.
Yeah, you know, people have been talking about this on every angle. Donald Sterling, gosh, I really feel sorry for the guy. There are a lot of ways you can look at it. Obviously, this was a conversation that was said behind closed doors. You know, in this country, we typically don't prosecute people for their thoughts, even though they may be prejudiced thoughts or biased or even racist. I think it's undeniable that he is, and that he is racist and has share certain views that are biased. But when you're in a position of power like that and influence, and you are really someone who employs such a large number of the people that you seem to look so unfavorably upon, it just didn't seem to be a proper position for him to be in and to hold. Because there's so many levels to this.
Well, Jay, no, I understand that, and certainly it just depends on what angle that you look at it. And I guess that's kind of another angle to look at this is, you know, we look it back, and I talked about this earlier this week on the Hot Corner, and we talked on our baseball show. I talked about Marge Schott, if you remember back you know, a few years ago, the Cincinnati Reds owner, who really in a lot of ways made comments that were a lot worse than Donald Sterling's and got a far less punishment from it. And I guess also where this kind of comes in and takes a side turn for me on all of this is the opportunity, instead of using it as an opportunity to educate America, and they used it as an opportunity for all intents and purposes. And certainly, I mean this in the most respectful way, but as a lynch mob mentality. Basically, what happened here, once these comments were released, and again, a private conversation between him and his girlfriend, and, you know, we could look at it like this. It's his team. He owns the team. You get basically a free ride in a Bentley, a Porsche, all kinds of money, a nice apartment, a nice place to live, and you get that because of your association with me. And the one thing that I'm asking you to do is this, and that's what he asked. He has his reasons, I suppose, and we look at maybe an older school mentality that would be in Mark Schott in that same generation. When we think about this, Jay, going back several years, I don't know that his comments kicked civil rights back several years. I think what it did do that maybe the NCAAP and other African American leaders such as Magic Johnson did not do. They did not take this opportunity to educate America. What they did do is try to take a situation that was bad and basically say, here we have another old rich white man who's prejudiced. Let's get rid of him and we hate him.
Well, you make a point there. I suppose it's a matter of appropriateness. And granted, there are employers throughout the nation, throughout the world, that hold such views and probably have African-American employees. I think context is a really big thing here. And it's very situational when you talk about racism and you talk about the dynamics of what we're discussing. I personally think that some education has been brought to this. It's been talked about on so many stations, so many channels, over and over, and by a lot of people have come out and made a view, expressed their view. I think it's maybe not, if not educational, it's been enlightening. It's been, it's certainly raised some awareness for others who thought this sort of mentality has been swept under the rug. But, you know, I think, like I said, context, I think, is a really big thing, because if you think in terms of Markshot, like you brought up, or Ursay situation, or the Michael Vick situation, you know, once you inject race into the conversation, it takes a different bent. And it's hard to ignore that. I mean, it takes a different tone. And, you know, it always just it changes the dynamics. I mean, let's say, for instance, he were a black owner and the players were white. And I guess, you know, but again, that changes the context. And the context is within American history, I guess, and that it all it all plays, and so the smaller situation plays into the larger situation, whatever that may be, whether it's Marshawn, whether it's Ursay with the drugs, whether it's Vic and the dogs, or whether it's just this and race. There are a lot, and there's a lot of dynamics around this. I mean, even from a legal standpoint, from a sociological standpoint, this is a deep conversation have. I mean, there's so many layers to it, you know. How would you compare something like this? I mean, you made some good points. How would you stack this up, say, against the Michael Vick and the punishment that was brought down there, or an Ursay a situation there with the drugs?
Right.
And he's an owner himself, you know.
Exactly, and I guess and that would be my biggest question. Does the punishment fit the crime? Is Donald Sterling a model owner and a model citizen? No, not by any stretch of the imagination. Is he an idiot with diarrhea of the mouth? Absolutely. And did he say some inappropriate things? Absolutely. But as I talked with you a little bit when we were setting up this interview, it amazes me the difference in consequences when race becomes involved. Would we have the same conversation about Donald Sterling, let's say, if he had said Hispanic people, don't bring any Hispanic people to the games, or would he have said, you know, hey, I don't appreciate you bringing other men to the games, or would it have been any different if he had said, I don't want you to bring someone of a celebrity status like Magic Johnson? But because of the fact that he used words like those people, black men, it becomes a racist statement, and he becomes a racist. Now, certainly he's demonstrated in his past that he has some racial tendencies. And by no means, Jay, we're talking with Jay Graves here in Indianapolis, WFYI, All Things Considered, NPR radio host, and certainly you have your own show with your own opinions. One of my biggest things is when we bring in race into this situation, Jim Ursay, drug problem. Okay, Michael Vick, gambling problem. Issue with that is what brought the – so he has a problem. Would you not say that someone of that generation, of that age – let's face it, the generation of political correctness is completely different today than it was. Mm-hmm. Even 10, 15 years ago, what was accepted then is no longer accepted now. Is he a victim? I don't even like to use that word. That's probably the very wrong word to use. But is Donald Sterling a product of an error of uneducation? Did the African-American people miss the opportunity to educate America about racism, or did they just use Donald Sterling as an opportunity to elevate their platform? Because let's look at it like this, and I think most people know my stance on Obama, so this isn't anything new. But why in the world would President Obama latch himself to this when so many things surrounding Obama, such as the Tea Party and other people, they've called the Tea Party racist? Why would Obama even bother? He was overseas in Asia, had nothing to do with him or the country. Why would Obama step out in front of this? Because let's look at it like this.
if we're to believe President Obama and his claims, he's part white and part black. Why is it whenever it's most convenient for him, he plays the black race card? So did they miss the boat? Did African Americans miss the boat in this opportunity? Because now, to me, Magic Johnson has been trying to buy, it's no secret, Magic Johnson has been trying to buy the Clippers for a while. And there are those, and you talk about different levels of conversation, there are those who say that this was all a ploy to drive Donald Sterling out of ownership. Now, here's the thing. If he gets divorced, he turns the team over to his wife or ex-wife. There's an option there. Also, his son-in-law, Donald Sterling's son-in-law, he has been on the board of directors and taking care of a lot of day-to-day activities for years. So I guess the other layer, as we peel back this onion, Jay, was this racist motivated, or was this just an ignorant old man saying something stupid in his old age?
Yeah, I think both, honestly, Tom. And first for your listeners, it's Jay Johnson, not Jay Graves. But I know you know me.
Sorry, I got to
okay.
Battle with Jay's thing. And I'll probably do the same thing to him. I am so sorry about it. Go ahead.
Okay. Just want to attribute the comments you had to the right person. I don't know Jay, the other Jay. But no, you know, you bring up some other good points. Did we miss the boat, the magic ploy, et cetera? Did we miss a chance to educate people? I go back to the context of things, and when you inject, as an African-American, I've got a perspective, you would have your perspective on this, I think we'd all have maybe different ones based on how we grew up and our experience of our life experience, and the context of our life with the U.S., the U.S. history. In U.S. history, African Americans have played a certain role, and I guess there's a certain level of sensitivity that seems to need to be had at a certain level of power if you're going to be accountable and responsible for a certain type of position like he was in. I agree. Granted, he was probably the victim of his generation, that mentality that they could carry through. Granted, he was, you know, taped. Who knows if it was knowingly or not, or behind closed doors. And we don't know who released it. You know, Ms. V. Stiviano says she didn't release the tape to TMZ. We still don't know, you know, what that has to deal with and how that ties into the thing you brought up with the magic ploy. But I think, you know, on the African-American issue, it's just context. And lacking the sensitivity to know that being in a position of power and employing so many African Americans, I think it's important that you have that level of sensitivity. In some way, he was made an example of, and he just kind of is this misfortune. But you know, as far as us missing the boat to educate, no, I don't think we missed the boat. Again, I think a lot of people have spoken up. I think a lot of people have expressed their views on this, and a lot of it has been made, a lot of publicity and promotion. I think a lot of people already know and don't have to be educated necessarily. Then you're not going to change a lot of people's minds anyway. You kind of have your view based on the way you came up. I don't think we missed the boat. That's something I hadn't heard, and I don't think it's really the onus is on the African-American community to take this opportunity to educate based on his ignorance. But more so highlight the fact that this still exists, and it still exists in places where it can be considered oppressive to people because of his position. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing that people are taking. It could be taken that way. You know, with the magic ploy, I'm not even going to comment on that because he may not even buy the team. I don't know if he has a bid for it or whatnot. He's expressed, I know he was in Indiana not too long ago, I think last week or earlier this week. He said he didn't have an interest in buying it. We know, of course, Donald Sterling, this thing's in a family trust. We don't know how this is going to go. He's known to be a real litigious person. He's real, you know, and to fight things. You know, his wife has ownership. family trusts are, you know, pretty hard to penetrate. It'll be interesting to see just how much power the NBA has to force him out. But, of course, I know the owner, other owners are going to have influence. Personally, I think, you know, he should just take the high road and just step aside. However, I mean, quite honestly, the guy bought the team for, what, $12-16 million in the 80s?
He's going to come out like a – he is going to come out very, very well. very, very well.
Well, yeah, that egg's worth, you know, $500 million now.
Right, exactly. We're talking with Jay Johnson of NPR, WFYI here in Indianapolis, all things considered. And great show Jay has, and certainly a good opportunity to listen to Jay if you get an opportunity WFYI NPR here in Indianapolis. So, Jay, I want to ask you something else here. And again, I know this question was asked before Donald Sterling, and it's going to be asked for several years to come, if not for eternity. Why is it okay for one race to be racist but not the other races? And I specifically refer to Spike Lee. Because of his association with the NBA and because of his love of the Knicks and because of the things he has said, he has basically said things like white people shouldn't be allowed to move into black neighborhoods. He also has had very, very influential conversations with owners of the Knicks about players and different things, and he's certainly had his say in the media that goes far deeper than what the regular fan has, and he has a voice. And many times, and in many, many occasions, Spike Lee has been allowed to go out there and just spew whatever he wants to spew about white people. Why is that okay for him to say something like that and be in the position that he is in? Even though he doesn't own an NBA team directly, he is a director of film. He is an influence on society. Why is it okay for Spike Lee to say whatever comes to his mind with no repercussions?
I don't think it's okay. Quite frankly, I think a level of sensitivity needs to be maintained by whatever side you're on. You know, and when you say one race can be racist and not another, again, I continue to go back to the context of U.S. history. And, you know, African Americans lived in virtually a police state in the United States for a number of years. And that just, again, it just, when that is part of your history, ingrained, for an African American to say something about a white person takes a it's a kind of a different tone when it's the other way around because of the course of history and then what the position we're in as far as power, influence, and what do we have? We can't really be oppressive to white people. Mm-hmm. there are, I'm sure, ways one could, but on a larger scale, I guess. That's what a prejudice is right from coming from any side, either side. I don't necessarily agree with the viewpoint, but I think, you know, when you want to compare the two races and one having an opinion versus the other toward the race, you gotta kind of be sensitive to the context of U.S. history and is the society that we live in, and it's kind of, you know, where do you draw the line? Where do you stop history? I mean, it hasn't stopped. The line has continued. I guess that would be my opinion on it. I don't think it's right either way, but to be prejudiced on either side. Do you think, would you consider Spike Lee's comments to be racist comments?
I would. And just because of the fact of when he makes comments, and I use one of those as an example, where white people should not be allowed to move into black neighborhoods. And it's certainly in his films, he can make whatever film that he wants. He's the owner or producer or director. He can make whatever film he wants. That's what makes America great. If we don't want to watch it, we don't have to go watch it. But his films, on many occasions, have been skewed toward a, you know, let's hate the white guy type scenario, and that seems to be a fact. And so his history points to the fact that he has also races. And also, I look at Larry Johnson. You might have been familiar with some of the things he was tweeting about and talking about during all of this. And
yeah.
he says that, you know, basically he's the owner of the team. Personally, he should be able to have whoever he wants at the game. And that kind of goes to what I was saying earlier. He was asking a request of his girlfriend, and because his girlfriend was enjoys such a great life that he's provided for her publicly, if you're going to, you know, attach yourself to a certain element of people, I think I have the right to ask you to not come into my games, my teams, and be, if you're going to have the life that I've given you, then maybe he has that right to ask what he wants in an intimate type scenario. And but also, Larry Johnson went on to say, and this is what one of the things that stick out to me, perhaps, that could possibly be skewed as racist as well. One of his tweets, he says, "Black people, you're focusing on the wrong thing." Now, this is Larry Johnson's tweet. "Black people, you're focusing on the wrong thing. We should be focusing on having our own team, our own league, our own self." So that said, when Larry Johnson makes comments like that, why is that not an issue?
That's a great point. Yeah, I think that's more of an economic issue. I did hear about that tweet, and I don't see that as a racist viewpoint. I see what you said about Spike Lee being more racist. Yes, if I were white, I'd be offended by what Spike Lee said, particularly if I wanted to move in one of those neighborhoods. I would probably not want to go to his movies. I would not be a Spike Lee fan from that point on if I were to begin with. He's isolating a large share of his market, a large part of his audience, whatever it may be. I don't know how you can make a statement like that and not consider that racist. And you know, if an African American were to say it, get offended. Or a white person were to say it, get offended. But Larry Johnson, I think he's seeking more of an economic empowerment. He's trying to empower the African American community, much as some other, maybe even like, you know, say other communities have come. They come together. They pooled their money and their resources together to control the resources of which they're largely a part of. They make up a large part of the employees, the community itself. Whether it be, you know, I've got African friends from Nigeria. I've got Indian friends. They'll pull their monies together, buy businesses. They have a different mentality, their culture-wise, toward kind of their community and economic, I guess, empowerment, supporting their own businesses. And it's not just those communities. I mean, it's a lot of communities. I mean, whether it's, you know, I can go across the board. But I think that's what he was speaking to, and I don't think he was trying to isolate and say, you know, we shouldn't have white people come to our games. We should have a white league and a black league. It's more so we should really look at and realize that it's skewed. It's skewed right now. We make up a majority of the league. We're making the money for this league. We're the draw. We're bringing the people through the doors, primarily being 80% African American. However, the people actually making the money at the top are white, the owners. I think so to go back to your point to educate, I think perhaps he's trying to take that point to educate the African American community, but I don't think he intends for it to be inflammatory and to incite racism per se, but more empowering from that standpoint.
Well, we've been talking, and it's been a great conversation. We've been talking with Jay Johnson of NPR Local WFYI here in Indianapolis, all things considered in the afternoon from 2 to 7. Make sure you get an opportunity to check him out. Jay, I appreciate you taking some time to join us. And you and I are friends, and certainly I know this was a sensitive topic for you, and I appreciate you coming on the show today and talking with us about that. And I always like to give all my guests, no matter who they are, an opportunity to talk about some of the things that whatever that might be on their mind. Certainly, we got the Pacers getting ready to start this afternoon, and Game 7 decisive game, and certainly a lot's been going on there with the Pacers. So anything that you'd like to talk about, anything that's coming up on your show, you know, feel free to promote the hell out of yourself, Mr. J. Johnson, not Jay Gray.
Yeah, Thomas, yeah, no. Yeah, for the most part, yeah, I appreciate the chance to come on. It's always fun to talk to you, man. And you know, this is really no easy, straightforward answer. This is a very complicated issue. This issue, not just race, but this isolated incident, and there's so many layers to it. And so it's hard to, you know, just to nail everything down, but I appreciate the chance to chat with you. This is fun. We learn. Don't really have anything to promote, man. We're this daily news talk, public affairs, business, politics. I mean, whatever's going on in the day. I would love to discuss with you. But so we look forward to doing some time in the future. In the meantime, yeah, I'm be rooting for the Pacers, and hopefully we can close this series out. Move on to round two, man.
Absolutely. Hey, real quickly, where can people find your work, your masterpieces, stalk you on social media or what have you? Or that you want to give out. Maybe you don't want to give that out. Okay.
That's well, okay. Next time, yeah. Let me get you that next time.
All right, buddy. we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Thomas.
Jay Johnson of WFYI, all things considered, taking some time to talk with us today about Donald Sterling. My name's Tom Mark with El Presidente. This is The Balance. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Race fans, get ready for the 2014 Coors Light Carb Day Concert at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, starring the Red Rocker, Sammy Hagar, and the Wobbles. And Sublime with Rome. Friday, May 23rd, Sammy Hagar and the Wobbles. And Sublime with Rome. Get more info at ims.com/carb day.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. What a great conversation that I was able to have with Jay Johnson of WFYI NPR, all things considered, in the afternoon, talk as an African-American media host, talking with us about the impact of Donald Sterling. And also joining us now is Mr. Kevin Chapman, country boy from Philly. Also, without further ado, the one, the only, Jay Graves of the Jay Graves Report.com. Holla at your brother. How you doing, man?
How you holla at your boy? What's going on, Playboy?
I mean, it's been so long. I forget how to talk to you, man. How to introduce you. Well, I tell you what. What's going on? Hey, Kevin Chapman, also our co-host for the next hour, and we call him that country redneck from Philly. So what I thought what I could do is I could get both of you guys on here. And let's hash this out. Let's hash this Donald Sterling thing out. Kevin, are you with us, buddy?
I'm with you.
All right. Well, you know, and just to give a little bit of a backdrop, certainly only for those people who have lived under a rock, you don't even have to be a sports fan. Just breathe. And over this past week, I'm sure you've heard of Donald Sterling. But what we're talking about is really more than anything, deeper than Donald Sterling, is racism in sports. And we find that it does still exist. And, you know, as we talked about on the Hot Corner this past Thursday in the baseball arena, you know, in a lot of ways, Marge Schott, and a lot, maybe some of the younger listeners don't remember Marge Schott as the former owner of the Cincinnati Reds. But in a lot of ways, I feel like that the things she said were far worse
than the things that Donald Sterling said. So we're going to get this started. We'll start with you, Jay Graves of the jgravesreport.com. And I know you've got a couple rants online there, and so I don't want you to spoil that, but I want you to go ahead and start us off today, sir.
Well, you know what? I thought that it was an eye-opener for a lot of folks that try to act like racism doesn't exist in America. You know, African-Americans always say, hey, the things that we see every day, white folks get to see every now and then when something like this comes up. You know, we see a lot of foolishness go on a daily basis. With, you know, when you say it, people say, oh, you just pulling a race card. It doesn't exist. That doesn't happen. I'm like, then you get this guy on a rant, and to be quite honest with you, you know, I thought it was unfair for his girlfriend to record him at the house because, let's be honest, there are a lot of people in the world, whether they're talking race, talking about homosexuality or whatever it is that is their kicker, they talk about at home behind closed doors. So
absolutely,
this could have been any number of people put out on Front Street. And so, but I'm glad that he got put on Front Street in this situation simply because he's always had a history. You know, my article this week was, y'all acting brand new. You act like this guy has never, this is the first time you've heard some foolishness coming from Donald Sterling. You got to remember when Elgin Baylor sued him years ago. And then, you know, he had the situation with another player a few years ago with, who was that? I can't remember the point guard that played with him. His name is
sure.
It's escaping me right now. But, this is a guy that's had history. He's been in the news for racially discriminating against folks and didn't want to, not wanting to rent apartments to them, et cetera. So it was just a matter of time. Like I said in my article this week, you know, all you have to do is sit back and let the foolish continue to do what they do, and they'll cut their own throat. You know, ask O.J. about it. You know, O.J. got away with murder, and then he just couldn't go somewhere and sit out. He just continued to act a fool until now he's locked up for 9 to 33 years. So, you know, it was a good thing that she put him on blast, but I will say this. In humor, she took care of the Players Union. She took care of the NBA. She took care of the fans. She made, you know, she put him on blast, but she didn't think about herself. She completely violated the gold digger's code of conduct.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. Here's the thing. I have said that very same thing about this scenario. As much of an idiot and old man as this guy is and had diarrhea of the mouth and said some things that maybe he shouldn't have said that maybe should have been brought to the attention, she now lost a meal ticket. That meal ticket has been punched back to free lunches.
I mean, think about this, fellas. She had already gotten $1.8 million out of it, two Bentleys, a Ferrari, and a Range Rover. So all she had to do, if she was a smart gold digger, all she had to do was sit in the cut, let he and his wife argue about it for a couple of months, and it would have passed.
Absolutely. All right, Kevin Chapman, redneck from Philly, country boy from Philly, and the tall, skinny white boy with a cowboy hat. Chapman, it's certainly not the put to stereotypic guys here. I'm not trying to say that Kevin, just because you're a redneck, you're a racist. But it's good that you're on. So go ahead, Kevin.
Well, and you know me, Tommy. You know I'm definitely not that. You know what most people don't realize, which I'm glad they're bringing up, is just as we just talked about with Sterling. You know, this isn't something new for him. He has had this issue in real estate. So, you know, I agree with it's good it's out. Everybody knew this already about him.
Right.
Do I agree that his girlfriend did things the wrong way? Whether his statements were true or right or wrong or ethical or anything, my biggest problem with the things being released is just that. There's no room for racism in anywhere, but those were comments made at home. So, you know, I'm glad we're seeing this, but I have to be honest with you, and I'm waiting for something else to happen. So I turn on ESPN, and as a matter of fact, ESPN's on right now, and they're talking about Sterling.
Well, and here's this whole thing that gets to me, and Jay, we're like minds in a lot of ways. I know we're complete opposites, we're polar opposites in a lot of ways, but we're like minds on this aspect. You know, there by the grace of God go I or you or anybody else, and trust me, depending on what your ticker is or what you may say, there's things we say to our most intimate people that we don't want out there displayed for the public. And so I don't know that he's any different than anybody else, but you know, I'm going to bring this topic up as well. We look at situations like Marge Schott, who used to be the owner of the Cincinnati Reds, very, very flamboyant about her racism many times. And then finally enough was enough, and they did end up suspending her. But I guess what I want to know from you, Jay, and your thoughts on this, guys, is did the punishment fit the crime? And the reason why I ask that is because we just recently saw an issue with hockey and racism. What I wonder is if a baseball owner – in using baseball as an example, in NBA, the predominant race in NBA, let's face it, is black. In baseball, predominantly is Hispanic. Would it be any different if a team owner came out and said something, well, half our league is illegal aliens, for example? Or would it, I guess what I want to know is, should he sell his team? And by the way, if he sells his team, he's going to make out billions of dollars. But the other aspect of it, I think we need to be very, very, very careful of how far we push this. Okay, I think that the players' union, that African American people have won a round in this particular scenario. But I was also talking with Jay Johnson prior to this, Jay Johnson of WFYI Radio, an African-American media host himself, of all things considered, here in Indianapolis, a good friend of mine, but at the same time, talking to him about this very, very question is, it's a business, and he owns his own business. We should not be – please don't take this term disrespectful – but I want you to understand that what he didn't do is he didn't go out there and say, oh, okay, well, let's form a lynch mob, if you will. What I think happened to him is, okay, well, he used the race card. Magic Johnson saw an opportunity because he's been trying to buy the team for a long time. Did the African-American people miss an opportunity to educate? Let's face it, this guy was old. He comes from a different generation. Not that that makes it right, but you know as well as I know, when people of his age were younger, the things he said weren't that politically incorrect to say, Jay.
But that doesn't make it right. You have to understand this. When you are running a billion-dollar corporation and it is a global business, and you're employing 70% of the folks that work for you are African American, to say the least. You can't have those types of views, even if they're behind closed doors. The fact is that his girl put him on blast and allowed those views to be public. And so, just like I joked and teased that, hey, yeah, that could happen to any one of you saying something crazy or whatever at home. But you can't be the guy running a billion-dollar corporation with the thought process of, I don't want black folks at my games. I don't want you associating with black folks. It's just bad. And so you have to understand, too, that not only is he running the organization, you've got other major corporations that are advertising with this guy. So now you're on the hook with everybody else, State Farm, CarMax, et cetera. All these companies do business with a diverse group of people. So if they continue to do business with him, it's a slap in the face to all the people that they do business with. So that's why people start pulling out, because, hey, I don't want to be associated with the foolishness, because I want that money too. And what you have to understand is if 70% of your players are black. Now, let's keep this real. Let's say Thurland or Silver, Adam Silver, wouldn't have suspended him for life. All the brothers would have walked off the floor the other night and cost billions of dollars in advertising money, in TV, in broadcast money, et cetera. So it would have been a huge impact. Sterling didn't have a choice but to do what he did simply because of all the ripple effect of the money that could have been affected for everybody.
You know, let me ask you this also, Jay and Kevin. I want to talk with you guys a little bit about Larry Johnson and his comments. And let's, I want to, again, with Jay Johnson, I use this example. Why is it okay for Spike Lee, for example, who's very much associated with the Knicks and the NBA? Why is it okay for him to say white folks shouldn't be moving into black neighborhoods, for one? And why is it okay for guys like Larry Johnson to tweet, say, oh, we should have our own league, our own owners, our own thing? You get what I mean, black people? I'm summarizing what he's saying, but basically he said, hey, black people, we got to go do our own thing. You know, we got to start our own stuff.
Here's the difference between Spike Lee and Sterling. Spike Lee doesn't run a billion-dollar corporation. Spike Lee doesn't employ.
He runs, he makes movies.
He doesn't run a billion-dollar corporation like this guy. He's not getting advertisers setting up at his house.
Wait. You know something, Jay? Now, I respectively disagree with you because every movie out there, especially now in 2014, has what's called advertisement placement in their movie. Kevin, go ahead.
When's the last time you've seen a Spike Lee movie? You seen a Spike Lee movie lately?
You know I haven't, Jay.
Okay, that's the end of the conversation.
go ahead, Kevin. I'm sorry, Jay. Go ahead, Kevin.
I guess my biggest thing is we're going out on this rampage because, as Jay just said, this is, you know, he owns a multi-million-dollar business and blah, 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 and we're going to go out there and we're going to tear this guy up. And don't get me wrong. Rightfully so. He deserves tore up for what he said. And those beliefs have absolutely there's no room for it anywhere, period. But I think we always run into these things of, and we hold some people to certain standards. We're going to say, well, because he owns this multi-million-dollar business and has minorities under it that work for him, he is going to be held to different standards than somebody that doesn't. And the reality of it is, the guy walking down the street that has that mentality, or the guy that runs the apartment building down here in Indianapolis that might have that same mentality, is just as wrong as Sterling.
Yeah, I never said that they weren't wrong. However, Sterling has a larger impact on society than the guy walking down the street. The guy walking down the street with a Confederate flag or riding past me with a Confederate flag hanging off his truck has no effect on me because he doesn't employ folks that look like me or deny folks that look like me opportunities to work. When you have a guy named Sterling that owns billion-dollar corporations and he's employing people and he's given the opportunity to deny folks opportunity to live in certain places, that's a problem. We know that racism exists. We know that folks are going to be out there racist, black, white, red, or brown. However, you can't be in a situation where you are running things and have that mindset and expect for folks to advertise with you, to spend money with you, to come support your businesses, et cetera. That's why he's getting hemmed up, because he is in a situation where he's actually in control of a whole lot of things.
I agree with that, but if you're going to go, the one thing we have to keep in mind, too, is you walking down the street and you say, Sterling just made some racist comments, and you just say his name, people are going to be like, okay, I don't know that guy, but if I see him, I'll, you know, say something. Now, if you say Spike Lee or Larry Johnson, people are going to know that name. So if we're going to go by impact on statements made, well, Spike Lee and Johnson constantly have a bigger impact.
just because you know Spike Lee's name, Spike Lee's name doesn't affect you one way or another. Larry Johnson is saying what he doesn't affect you one way or another. That doesn't mean that what they said was right. It doesn't affect you one way or another. With Stanley being an owner of an NBA team, it has an effect on everybody out here because everybody out here is watching the NBA. Kids are watching the NBA. People are being employed by the NBA. Everything that's coming on TV has some type of effect because of the advertisement dollars that are being pushed into the NBA. There's a huge effect on that. I'm not saying that one person is right and one person is wrong. What I am saying is if you have an effect on billions of dollars in this country in terms of the economic impact that you can have, you definitely can't have that type of attitude, and you need to be the guy walking up and down the street with the Confederate flag or the guy talking crazy on race, sitting in the parking lot drinking gin, because that person has no effect on anybody else.
And we're talking with Jay Graves, the Jay Graves Report, and great articles. You need to go check it out, jaygravesreport.com. I love having Jay on, and I must admit, with full disclosure, I wanted to get the soup stirred a little bit to get the conversation going here on both sides of the coin here, because it is something that is big in the sports world, and this just become a reminder that there is racism that still exists. My question to you is, Jay, what I mean by this, did the African-American people miss an opportunity? So, and again, don't take this disrespectfully, but there was like, well, he said something against black people. Let's all gang up on him. Let's all go after him. But here, there's a couple things that I think could have happened differently. Again, I am not African-American, so I don't know. I don't understand. But one of the things that I think could have happened with this is, use it as an educational tool. Say, okay, look, this still exists, but then this guy, it does not make it right. Now, again, this guy is an old man. He is not winning any awards.
Here's the deal, Tom. You're making excuses for him being an old man. It doesn't matter how old he is. The fact is, why should it be a teaching moment for African Americans? Why couldn't it be a teaching moment for white folks out here that are racist, that continue to use that type of mentality and run businesses? What they just did this week was told folks, hey, we're not going to tolerate that type of behavior in a business environment. We can't tolerate it. That's the teaching moment, and that should be the teaching moment, not just for black folks, but for white folks, for everybody in this country. We got to learn how to respect diversity in this world. The only reason that African-Americans are in this country today is because of the slave trade, because folks didn't respect diversity 400 years ago. We're 400 years later, we still have to learn how to respect diversity, because we all need to be in this world together in order for and operate together in order for us to be able to have things work properly, because with diversity, you have different flavors, you have different mentality, you have different thoughts and ideas. We need all those thoughts and ideas put together so that it works. Why do you think that when God made the Bible, when he allowed the New Testament to be written, he let John, Luke, and Mark write the same thing, but they wrote it from different perspectives? That's what white folks, black folks, Latinos, et cetera, Asians in this country, we all bring the same, we all watch the game, we all watch the car accident on the street, but we all have a different vantage point from the way we interpret that accident. We need everybody speaking. We need everybody having an idea. So when you shut down one group of people and you say, hey, I don't like these folks, whether you black, white, red, or brown, you wrong. But you cannot be in a situation where you are in a leadership role and in a economic situation where you can control folks' futures, making comments like that. The teaching moment is, hey, we're not going to tolerate it. And I don't care who it comes from. If it would have came out of Magic Johnson's mouth, if he would have said, hey, I don't want white folks in my games, I don't want white folks in my restaurants or my theaters, and so on, he would have been just as wrong as Donald Sterling.
And we're talking with Jay Graves, the jaygravesreport.com, and unfortunately we are running about out of time here, so I do want to get our final thoughts here. And I agree to disagree with you on some things. Here's the thing. I think that it was a win for everybody that was against what Donald Sterling did, myself included. Donald Sterling does not belong in the NBA. He was banned from the NBA for life. He cannot function with the team, none of that. Now, the part two of that is, and it's not just Donald Sterling, and it just happens to be magnified with him. There's guys right here in Indianapolis, whether they be black or white, that own a business and have thoughts about race that they should not have. So should we force everybody out of business just because they have a different opinion on race? So what my point being, in a capitalist society that we live in, what drives our economy in so many different levels is the ability, whether or not you own a multi-billion dollar industry or you own Joe's Car Lot down at the corner and you have five employees, that dream to drive America and the dream that young kids have to play in the NBA, Jay, I don't think Donald Sterling changed that one bit. I don't think that anybody's ability to play in the NBA changed because Donald Sterling had a bad opinion. So that's my final thought. Jay, your final thought, go.
Here's the difference between the guy that owns the car lot and the guy that's a part of the NBA. The NBA is called the National Basketball Association. He's a part of an association. He has to follow the rules of the association. The association says we're not going to tolerate that. The guy that runs the car lot down the street may or may not be a part of a certain type of association. If he is independently owned and he doesn't belong to the association, then no one can touch him, even if he walks around with a Ku Klux Klan jersey on. It wouldn't matter. But because he's a part of the association, and then part of the bylaws says that, hey, if we get 3/4 of the vote of the owners to force you out, we can force you out. You signed up for that when you bought the team. That's part of the bylaws. That's what it is. So you got to play by the rules. You don't play by the rules, it is what it is.
All right, Kevin Chapman, final thoughts.
You know, I agree with both parts of both. My biggest thing is this. I don't want this to turn into just a Sterling thing. I don't want this to turn into a racist thing for either side. I think we need to look at it, like you said earlier, Tom, in the big picture. This is still a problem we have, whether it's racist amongst whites and blacks or Hispanics. This is a problem we still have in the United States, and we're not addressing it properly because there's still a blame game going on from both sides and every side out there. We need to stop the blame game and just realize it's going on in the United States, and let's fix it. And the way to fix it is to understand that until we all decide that it doesn't matter what the color or ethnicity of that person next to you is, until we as a society realize that, it's never going to be fixed.
Absolutely. Right? All right, Jay Graves, holla at you, boy. My man, I tell you what, I love having you on the show. It's been a while, and hopefully we'll have you on again real soon here. But where can people find your work and your definite masterpieces, sir?
Hey, man, you guys can go to thejgravesreport.com, or you can hit me up on Twitter, @jgravesreport, so you can holla at your boy.
Holla at your boy. All right, Jay, I appreciate you taking some time with us. And like I mentioned with our other guests, I know this is a sensitive topic for you, and I appreciate you taking some time and understanding where this conversation came from. And I love everything that you do out there. You do some great stuff, and thanks for taking time to come on the show today, buddy.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. Hey, you know what? It's not a sensitive topic. It's one of those topics that we have to have. People are so afraid to talk race in this country. That's why we have the problems that we have, because nobody wants to talk about it. So, hey, I appreciate you guys, man.
All right, buddy.
Cool.
Jay Graves of the Jay Graves Report. Holla at your boy. Boy, he gets fired up. Let me tell you what, though. I enjoy having him on, and I, in full disclosure, I knew that was going to happen. That was part of the plan of the show and doing show prep. But I enjoy having him on, and I love talking with Jay. Kevin, you and I will be back with the iPod Shuffle. So anything y'all want to talk about, it's open mic. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
The Echoes. The Legends. The hearts and souls of champions. All will take notice as a new tradition ignites. The inaugural Grand Prix of Indianapolis. New twists. New turns. New thrills. Grand Prix of Indianapolis at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Our story begins now.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Race fans, get ready for the 2014 Coors Light Carb Day Concert at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, starring the Red Rocker, Sammy Hagar, and the Wobbo. And Sublime with Rome. Friday, May 23rd, Sammy Hagar and the Wobbos. And Sublime with Rome. Get more info at ims.com/carb day.
All right, my minions, welcome back to the Balance of the Balance Radio Network. Myself and Kevin Chapman are here, and we are going to break down the last half hour and really anything you want to talk about. You want to talk about hockey, you want to talk about IndyCar, you want to talk about the up-and-coming draft, you want to talk about the Pacers tonight or the NBA, and God forbid if you want to talk some more about Donald Sterling, we're open for that because it is the iPod Shuffle.
I'm picking up good vibration. She's giving me excitation. I'm backing up good vibration.
Mr. Chapman, redneck from Philly, that country boy from Philadelphia. Are you ready for the iPod Shuffle, sir?
Let's do it.
Boy, old Jay Graves can get the soup going, huh? I gotta keep him on a I gotta keep him on a tight leash. No, I'm just kidding. I better watch it. I better not say that. That could be construed as racist, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
Well, you know what? We joke about it. It is a very serious topic, and I'm glad that for the last hour we've spent some time talking about it. But really, guys, it's time to get on with life. It's time to get on with sports, and you talk about some of the things that are going on in the sports world, if you will. Of course, the mini marathon here in Indianapolis today. Probably some people are still trying to make it across the finish line. I thought, well, I'd run the main. I did do it 1 year, and so I could say I have that experience. But I'm just good sitting here watching it on television. It's pretty exciting though, because it does get you geared up for the month of May, and really pretty exciting watching them go around the track at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But we got the Indianapolis Grand Prix open up for practice next week. Kevin, what are your thoughts? Indianapolis Grand Prix, IndyCar on the road course, two big races in the month of May.
When they first started talking about it, I'd be honest, I didn't think it was a good idea to have another race that close to the Indy 500. I was concerned about ticket sales. You know, could people afford to go to the Grand Prix 1 week and then the next week be able to do the 500? And from what I've seen, it looks like it actually has not affected ticket sales. If anything, helped ticket sales for both the Grand Prix and the 500.
Well, and I think I was talking with Matt Hicks from 1070 The Fan in the first part of the show today about that very topic, and I haven't seen the ticket sale numbers. I think there again that was one of my concerns, but I'm excited just because it's the month of May. We really, back in the old days, the whole month of May was centered around something going on at the track, and I applaud Doug Bowles in the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for getting that back and putting that back together. So, I'm interested. We're gonna see how these can go. I asked Matt. I said, do you think we'll see a pole speed of around 200 miles an hour? He doesn't think it'll be quite that fast. He thinks it'll be somewhere around 135, 140. But nonetheless, Kevin Chapman, we got cars on the track. I went out there this past Monday for testing, and it is awesome.
Oh, I agree. This, I moved here from Virginia Beach in 07 on the one-year plan, and obviously I failed on the one-year plan.
Indianapolis took it, and it sucks.
I'm coming here for a year, and I'm out, and I'm still here, so obviously I failed. But that's one of the things I love about Indianapolis. If you like racing like I do. Now, granted, I am not a very knowledgeable on the open wheel concept. I have different views of that than some others. I enjoy it, but I don't enjoy it as much as I do the NASCAR.
That's because you're the redneck from Philly.
Exactly. I say, which because that's the redneck in me. But, I still enjoy it. And you're right. It is good to see cars on the track. Make some right-hand turns. Make some left-hand turns. And I think it's going to be a flat-out blast.
A flat-out blast. Well, I tell you what, let's talk a little. This is the iPod Shuffle. Let's talk a little bit about your race in NASCAR. High Banks Hydro out there in Talladega. What are your thoughts, sir?
Oh, I cannot wait. And I don't know if you saw it during practice. It was Hendrick Motorsports was kind of funny, actually. They tried to line up all eight of them because Stuart Haas, his engines are by Hendrick. So Tony Stewart and his crew and Gordon and all, they left pit row in a tandem of eight cars, and they went around the track like four times, and others tagged on. So Hendrick Motorsports just pulled down to the pit row and waited for them to get too tired and leave. So they were playing a little cat-and-mouse game during practice, which I thought was actually quite comical.
I did not see that, but I've been so busy with so much going on. So, you know, there's a rumor out there talking about, well, again, it was from the National Enquirer, so take it for what it's worth. Talking out there that Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his girlfriend, Amy Reiman, whatever her name is, plan on getting married at Daytona National Speedway later this year. But Dale Jr. says, not quite so fast. I like her and all, but we ain't there. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, and I think it's quite comical, actually, that they said it was like a $2 million wedding, and during his interview, he's like, look, I'd love to be able to just stroke a check for $2 million. Now, I don't know if he could quite stroke a check for $2 million, but I think he could get pretty darn close.
Oh, I think he could get real close. But what I want to know is, why would a wedding cost $2 million at Daytona? Because he'll have so much given to him. In other words, people would love to be a part of that. So,
oh, I agree.
I'm wondering where the $2 million. Well, apparently, it's just one of those National Enquirer rumors, you know. But it'd be interesting to see. You know, you got really the unmarrieds are the most eligible bachelors in NASCAR out there. But the oldest, most eligible bachelors are obviously Dale Jr. and Tony Stewart. So, you know.
Yeah.
You know what? I've been amazed this year so far, Kevin, is that we haven't had typically by this time of year. Well, I guess we did at the beginning of the season. We had a little bit of Danica and Kyle Petty talk, but we haven't had a lot of Danica talk.
Her ass is so hot. I've seen it cause traffic accidents.
Well, we need our Danica fix. What's going on with Danica Patrick?
I'm not real sure why we haven't heard anything, and I'm like you, I'm really shocked, because normally by this time of year, we've heard a lot about Danica. Personally, I'm kind of glad we haven't. I kind of got over it. I'm glad she's in the sport, and I think for sport-wise, I think she's done some good to get females a little bit better access to NASCAR, if that's the right way to word it. You see a lot more females racing in their minor leagues, you know, your ARCA and all that, than you did before Danica's name got known. So, you know, I'm glad it got known, but, yeah, I'm definitely over the Big Daddy swimsuit commercials and everything else that she was doing.
So, maybe Richard Petty got to her. Wasn't it Richard Petty that said that the only race she would win is when she's on the track by herself? Wasn't that Richard or was that Kyle?
I believe that was Richard, if I remember correctly.
Well, you know, and we jokingly aside, but Richard Petty's going to be making a trip for the first time back to the track since the passing of his wife. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, we haven't had much of a Danica fix. Maybe it's her new sponsor. Maybe they're saying, we really don't want you to be out there too much. Marcus Ambrose punches Casey Mears in the face. They go all ghetto brawl on him out there. I better watch that. That might be construed as racist, right? Marcus Ambrose punches Casey Mears in the face after a race. You know, we see that from time to time, but, you know, typically you see the throwing of the glove. I challenge you to a duel, sir. I bid you good day, sir, or Danica or somebody throwing her helmet. But outside of maybe, well, Jeff Gordon and Clint Bowyer got into it last year. But Marcus Ambrose and Casey Mears got into it kind of like a WWE match there, Kevin.
Well, you know, and I didn't get a chance. We were talking tonight, and I don't remember us bringing this up, but, you know, I'm glad to see it. I think not necessarily the punch in the face, I mean, because I prefer hockey for that, but, you know, it's good to see there's some fight back in NASCAR. I mean, back in with Allison and all them in the day, I mean, you wreck my car, and we're going to go over the grass, and we're going to settle it. And there's fight in there. And lately, it's been more politically correct. And I want us to get back to some old school redneck, I'm going to wreck your car racing.
Well, we very well might see it this weekend out at Talladega. Well, we got the NBA Finals game number 7 here in Indianapolis. The Indiana Pacers, the Atlanta Hawks. The drama continues on the basketball court tonight, sir.
I know I shouldn't say this living in Indianapolis because I do have to like go out on the streets, but I, as much as we did well in game 6 and we finally at least didn't let them kill us 30-0 in any one quarter. I just don't think we could pull off game 7. I'd love us to. And even if we do, we got to go play Washington next, which if you watch them with Chicago, they're fast. And we're going to have just as tough of a second round if we get there as we did the first.
Well, I tell you, I agree with what Matt Hicks says. I think we're going to be able to close this out tonight. We're going to win against the Hawks and put this behind us. And let's face it, the Pacers have not been playing good basketball. Good to see that there wasn't any suspensions handed down this week. But, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I am tired of LeBron James. I'm almost about as tired of talking about LeBron James as I am about Donald Sterling. My God, you know they've got an app now. I kid you not. They've got an app where you could track the movements of LeBron James on the court, his social life. I don't know. It's something that he teamed up with one of the cellular companies. And so basically, if you cannot get enough of LeBron James, you download the app. I think it's called LeBron's app or something like that. I'm not really sure, but if you can't get enough LeBron James on the court or in the media or ESPN, you can download an app. I think you can follow him just about everything he does. Maybe even when he goes poop. I'm not sure.
I did not hear this app, and wow. Yeah, I am 100% over LeBron. I was over LeBron when he got on a 4-hour rant about why he's leaving Cleveland to go where he was. So, you know, I've been over LeBron for a while now. But, yeah, that is
It's on
wow.
Samsung. Yeah, he has his own app, and it's only on Samsung devices. The app is called LeBron. There you go. Just download LeBron, and it's available for the Galaxy S3, Galaxy S4, Galaxy S5, Galaxy Note 2, Galaxy Note 3. Oh, my God. If you got Samsung Galaxy, chances are you can probably get it. And I guess this offers LeBron James groupies, if you will, a unique look into the life of the NBA superstar. So, wow.
Yeah.
You know, to me, I get enough of LeBron anyway, so I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Well, Stanley Cup action. The Bruins, they denounced racist tweets directed at P.K. Sudman. Did you hear about that?
No, I did not.
Man, dude, where have you been, dude? You got to be ready.
In a
hole,
obviously.
Now, see, I could go in so many different directions with that, Kevin. But I will not. I will not. See, but you know what? It is the iPod Shuffle. And, I like the iPod Shuffle because we get to cover a lot. Because we're called The Balance, so we really talk about anything. No, yeah. There was a story that was released, and I'm not sure exactly what all happened. Boston Bruins president Cam Neely issued a statement Friday denouncing several racist tweets directed toward P.K. Sudman after the defenseman scored the second overtime to lift the Montreal Canadiens to a 4-3 victory Thursday night. The racist, classless views expressed by an ignorant group of individuals following Thursday's game via digital media are in no way a reflection of anyone associated with the Bruins organization. You bring up racism or anything to do with race, it wasn't me. I'm out of here. It was him. No, it was not me. I promise you. So, I know you're big into hockey, so I didn't know if you had saw that story or not.
No, and some of that is as much as I love watching SportsCenter and all that, I cannot say, like I said earlier when we talked to Jay, I've stepped away from watching it because, yes, the Sterling issue needs to be talked about. Yes, all that. But it's at the point for me personally where I'm over watching 45 minutes of Sterling and then 5 minutes of what else is going on in the sports world.
I couldn't agree with you more. See, that's why you should come here to the Balance, because, you know, we bring it. And we are officially, at the end of this show, we'll talk about Donald Sterling for another 5 minutes or so if somebody wants to talk about it, because it's the iPod Shuffle. But we are officially done talking about Donald Sterling and his diarrhea of the mouth. Philadelphia Flyers and New York Rangers, 1-2 final. Flyers fall in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Thoughts?
Well, I knew if we went to Game 7, we were done. The reality of this, the New York Rangers have had these Flyers number, whatever you want to call it. Well, their record speaks for itself. We're 1-12 at the Madison Square Gardens. We cannot go in there and figure out how to win a hockey game. So, you know, when it went to Game 7, I knew we were going to be in some trouble. So the Flyers aren't the Flyers we used to be in the 80s. Well, not in the 80s, but when we had the Legion of Doom with Windrose and all them. But they're getting better. I look forward to next season to see where we go. I wasn't surprised by the win.
Well, as Cup fans always say, there's always next year, right? There's always next year.
Well, you know, every Philadelphia fan says that, okay? It really doesn't matter what sport, we always say there's always next year.
Right. Go ahead, Kevin.
You're good. Philadelphia fans, I can't tell you the last time I've been able to say, wow, Philadelphia did something, other than, okay, well, we started well. And just wait for next year.
Well, you know, this is the iPod Shuffle. So, you know, we get to throw anything in there that you want. So all I want to know is, did you see this? This maybe would fall under the WTF section. Did you see? Now, this is a ping pong championship. It happened, I think, I'm not kidding you, in China. They went at it. Ping pong gangster style, I guess. I guess there was a big fight that broke out. I guess ping pong's pretty big in China. But I guess there was a big fight. The fans were coming out of the stands, and they were breaking it. It was an all-out brawl.
Cops
trying to push people back, but I tell you what, once you were in there, man, they were going at it over this ping pong, man.
Ping pong, I mean, it's serious stuff. They have ping pong fight clubs. I mean, it's you're not playing this game of ping pong and not getting serious about it, I guess. I don't know. I don't see it, but you're right. Over there, it's very serious.
Well, you know, so sumo wrestling, too, but, you know. If I don't go on a diet, maybe I'll be a sumo wrestler. No, you know, I wish I had the Austin Powers soundbite. Remember where he's in the laundry basket with the sumo wrestler?
Yes.
Where are you at? Are you at a sumo fight?
No, I'm googling the ping pong fight. I gotta see it now.
Did you see it?
That's what I'm looking at right now. I typed in ping pong fight, and all it's doing is showing me, like, ping pong players, not any fights yet. So I'm waiting.
Well,
I'll find it yet.
I'll find it, and I'll get it posted up on our social media. Yeah, it happened in China. I you know me, I have all kinds of all kinds of sources, my friend. All kinds of sources. I go there, you know.
Well, you do, and you have more sources in that area than I do. I have to. That's why you're the El Presidente.
That's right. I am the El Presidente. All right, Kevin Chapman. Final thoughts. We got to go, my friend.
Well, you know, the only final thoughts you can have is, if you're here in Indianapolis, is this is probably one of the best months you could possibly live here. And if you don't live here and you don't come visit Indianapolis, this is the time to do it.
Well, that's going to do it, Mr. Kevin Chapman. I appreciate you joining us. Catch up with us again next week. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Remember, don't drink and drive. It ain't cool. Check out the Pacers tonight for a win. If you can get down to Bankers Life, almost said Conseco. If you get down to Bankers Life, do that and root on the Pacers. And, of course, next week, guys, it is the first running of the Indianapolis Grand Prix. My name's Mark El Presidente, your fearless leader. We'll see you next week. I'm out of here. Peace.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.